without you, Jesus. Say it with me again, but I'm never without you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for singing so well tonight. You may be seated for a few moments. I'm going to speak as quickly as I can so that my voice don't give out. Of course, God could strengthen my voice. We could be here most of the night. No, I'm not going to do that either. The Lord is good tonight, and His mercy indeed endures forever. Say it with me, His mercy endures forever. We're moving into a time, as we turn to some scripture in just a moment here tonight, we're moving into a time that is called the end time. We have actually heard of that since, for a long time. We've heard of that for so long, scoffers are now here, saying, where is the sign of His coming? Amen. Because ever since our fathers slept, that meant down through time and generations, all things have continued as they are to this day. There's been no cataclysmic judgments. There have been no great plagues. The book of Revelation hasn't been realized upon the earth. The coming of Christ hasn't taken, the rapture hasn't taken place. So you know, now there is a scoffing at the message. And it's not so much just in the world anymore. The most striking thing about scoffers, when I thought of scoffers initially, I thought of the world out there scoffing at the message of His soon coming. But I have since found out that there are portions of the church that are not living, a large portion of the church world is not living in the light of His soon coming. There are so many people not ready for the coming of the Son of God. The reason I'm preaching on this message of spiritual awakening, responding to God's call for authentic faith, is because within a spiritual awakening, one of the events that takes place in a true revival is that people become keenly aware of the nearness of the coming of Jesus Christ. And the reason I believe that we need a spiritual awakening, even in ministries that have thousands in attendance and thousands that are under the influence of those ministries, is because I do not detect in those ministries a keen awareness of the nearness of the coming of Jesus Christ. How do you know that? Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I'm not hearing messages to get people prepared and ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. I'm not even hearing messages to necessarily bring a spiritual awakeness. The messages are more designed to lift people up, give them an emotional lift, make them feel good, get them to come to church, give in the offering, and having done that, expect great earthly blessings. And certainly God wants to bless you materially, and we need that blessing. How many know we need the material blessings that God has promised? He didn't have to do that, but He in His generous heart decided to do it. And I, for one, am glad that He did, because particularly in times like these, you know, we've been so conditioned to gas possibly going to $5. When it comes down under $3, what we were aghast at several years ago, we're jumping for joy at now. Gas gets down to $2.99 and we say, "Woo-hee, hallelujah," because we thought it was going to $5. But I remember when it went over $2 and we all went nuts. This is the new normal that we're in. So this idea of a spiritual awakening ties in with the message of the soon coming of the Lord. The reason we need a spiritual awakening is not because people are not attending church. It's because many people are not living in the light of the soon coming of Jesus. How do you know that? Because we're more focused on the material blessings than the spiritual blessings. Amen. I tune in. I like inspiration. I look for it on television. I particularly go to Christian ministries to find that inspiration. I remember tuning in one Christmas to one of the major full gospel ministries, and they were singing, and there's nothing wrong with this song. It's not an inappropriate song. It's a seasonal song. They were singing, "Dashing Through the Snow in a One-Horse Open Sleigh." I mean, this is what they were singing. It's Christmas. I want to celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's what it's all about to me. And I was looking for inspiration. I go through the department stores and hear "Dashing Through the Snow." So I kind of expected a Jesus song. Amen. Amen. There was no Jesus song. And, there was a beautiful set, and there was there was a fake horse and a fake carriage, and they're singing this. And it was fine. It was wonderful. But that's what I found on the Christian broadcast. I'm shuttling through the channels looking for another Christian broadcast. I come across the Nashville channel. And Kathy Mateo on the Nashville channel, which is secular, is singing, guess what? Everywhere I go, Lord. I can't sing like her, by the way. Everywhere I go, somebody talking about Jesus. And I just stopped on the Nashville channel. But then I begin to think, what's wrong with this picture? I'm having to find my inspiration from... And then there was a Christian singer that was known for Christian albums on the Nashville channel. And I thought the second song then is going to be great on a video. And that person began to sing, amen, one of the secular Christmas songs. I think it was something about, you better not pout, you better not cry. That's what the Christian artist was singing. So then I went back to see what was on the Christian station. Now they had graduated from Dashing Through the Snow to I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. And I'm saying, you know something, I'm going to turn off the television. I'm going to go in and get my own music and put it on. But sometimes we miss it. We miss the point. Today I'm listening for somebody that knows that the Lord is coming soon. I believe we need a spiritual awakening. It has nothing to do with how many people attend church. It's what the attitude of those people are. And I believe that we need what Paul is talking about right here in Romans 13, 11 through 13. There is a prescription here for a spiritual awakening. And I don't know if you think you need one or not, but I want all of the reviving. I want all of the fire of the Holy Spirit that God has. So if there's anybody in here who don't want it, amen, I'm going to ask God to give me your portion tonight. There is such a thing as getting a double portion anointing. Can you say amen? So if you don't want yours, I'm going to ask the Lord to please give it to me, because I will appreciate it. I will appropriate it. I'll use it for your honor and glory. Listen to how many believe tonight so that this scripture will be relevant to you. How many believe that Jesus is coming again, number one? Wave at me. How many believe that there's enough, that you know enough about the Bible? You don't have to be a student of prophecy that you clearly understand that we are living in biblically defined days, that the time of the coming of the Lord has to be getting close. How many believe that the time of His coming must be getting close in light of the headlines, the events in our society, and the prophecies in Scripture? See, we don't have to delineate all of that because most of us know that. So Paul is talking to people that are in the know. Can you say amen? People that are in the know. By the way, he wrote this 2,000 years ago to the church. If it was relevant to them 2,000 years ago, how relevant should it be to us today? I actually don't talk about anymore the last days. I do not believe that we are in the last days. Although I may use that term, I want you to clearly understand what I'm referring to. I believe we are in the last of the last days. There are certain things prophetically that the Bible said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head, your redemption is nigh at hand. Can you say amen? It's near. The Bible spoke of certain events and said, when you see these events, know that His coming is even at the doors. Amen? So the idea of Scripture is, be ye also ready, for in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Our pastor used to preach so much about the soon coming of Jesus. When I first became a Christian, amen, at 21, going on 22 years of age, when I fully dedicated my life to the Lord. And by the way, it's been the most joyous life you can. I didn't say it was easy. I didn't say it was without persecution and without heartbreak, but I'm telling you, this is the greatest life that could possibly ever be lived. I have never regretted giving my heart to Jesus. And it's not just to escape hell and make heaven my home. It's having somebody with me through life that I could lean on and depend on no matter what I was going through. Having a friend like this, amen. There were times when I almost died and felt like my spirit was leaving my body, and having His comfort at a time like that, when your wife can't comfort you, nobody else can comfort you. Amen. When you go through the valley of the shadow, you don't go with a crowd. You go by yourself. And the Lord being your shepherd is so critical at that time. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. To be able to not fear any evil, even when death seems imminent, is a joyous thing. It's a peaceful thing. It's a powerful thing. It's something Jim Gates can't buy with $58 billion in his account. And every Christian in here has the privilege of it tonight. Hallelujah. I'm not too crazy about dying, but I'm not afraid of death. Paul looked death in the eye, the grim reaper. I've seen some fellows look like that in Walgreens hanging on the costumes are out now. I don't know how the costumes can get any uglier, but looks like some people way back when I first started preaching. No, I'm sorry. Amen. Anyway, they look really, really, really tough. Really tough. Amen. There's some tough looking things out there now. Ghouls and goblins, and I can just see death looking so ominous and so threatening. And Paul looked death in the eye, amen, and said death, where in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, 56, 57, and 58, amen, he looked death in the eye and said, death, where is your sting and grave? Where is your victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. That was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he conquered death himself, he conquered it for everyone that would trust in him, and became the first fruits of them that slept. You know what that means? That means the first man to ever die, be raised from the dead, never to die again. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he died again. Amen. The Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, but she died again. The widow's son was raised from the dead, but he died again. But amen, Jesus became the first man to ever raise from the dead, never to die again. And Paul said, if he conquered death, we conquer death. I'm the resurrection and the life. He said at the tomb of Lazarus, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me, he will never die. Believest thou this? Hallelujah. That doesn't mean the body might not drop. It means it won't affect you. You're not going to die. Absent from the body is what, according to the Apostle Paul? To be absent from the body is to be what? In the ground in soul sleep. No, the Bible doesn't teach soul sleep. The Bible teaches constant awareness. And the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wow. Amen. Jim Gates can't buy that, I'm telling you. That's why the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, my son, if you're a righteous man, don't envy sinners. Don't look at what they got, because without God, they're empty. Amen. They have nothing. They're going to die and leave it all one day. Can you say amen? But, I used to sing when in my first early days of ministry, I guess we should pity the man in this world who doesn't have a place to lay his head. Amen. And I guess we should pity the man in this world and in those circumstances of life that he has looked like nothing. But really the one to be pitied is not the one that looks like he has nothing but has Christ, but the one who seems to have everything and doesn't have Christ. Amen. If he doesn't own the pearl of great price, he's poor and hopeless and helpless. Well, I happen to own the pearl of great price. Jesus is mine. Can you say it with me? Jesus is mine. What wealth, what riches. Hallelujah. Amen. What would man give in exchange for his soul? I won't give anything in exchange for mine, thank you. Eternal life is worth something to me. Escaping the judgment to come is worth everything to me. Amen. So since we know the time, Paul addresses people like us. And he says in Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Amen? Prescription for spiritual awakening. I'm just going to go straight to the prescription. There's other comments, but my time is running. Number one, we need to wise up. I can't help but tell this story. Every time I read this for the sake of the tape, the little boy standing with his dad in a great church 4 years old, trying to sing with everyone else. He's standing up in the pew and they're singing, "Rise up, O men of God, be done with earthly things." And he sings it and can't pronounce his R's. And he says, "Wise up, O men of God." And I think he probably hit it dead on. So many people are not living their life with the wisdom that comes from the scriptures, particularly in the area of prophecy and the soon coming of Jesus. Amen? The Bible said, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you will find rest for your soul. Behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Be ye wise as serpents, but gentle and harmless as doves." But be ye wise as serpents. Can you say amen? Use the wisdom that God grants you. If any man lack wisdom, the book of James says, "Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." If any man lack wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge rightfully applied. Paul begins to talk about that. He said, knowing the time. If you have knowledge, then you should have the wisdom to apply that knowledge. Everybody say, wisdom is knowledge rightfully applied. Say it with me again. Wisdom is knowledge rightfully applied. Knowing the time, we should be applying that knowledge. We should be wise enough people to start living our life differently since we know we're in the last days. We should be making long-term plans. Thank you for the hearty amen. We shouldn't be making plans without involving God. If we don't have wisdom, God said, just ask me. I'll give it to you and I won't upbraid you for asking for it. This is something in my perfect will for every child of God. Amen? We need to wise up, and knowing the time, it's high time to awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 11 says, begins with knowing the time. Say it with me, knowing the time. We need a clear understanding of the times. These are the last of the last days, the last times. In the last days, scoffers will come. Honey, they're here, marking it as the last days. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days, some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's a distortion of the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And it is pervasive in many circles. And there's no checks and balances. And no one is listening to anybody that's trying to correct. Peter withstood Paul to the face because he was to be blamed. Or Paul withstood Peter. And Peter listened and received correction. People with great power and influence are not listening anymore. And question anyone's right to question them because of the following. And because of the power of wealth and the power of influence. And a pride enters the heart. But I'm going to tell you something. There is no one above the authority of the Word of God. Amen. If I preach it wrong, everyone in this room has a right to question me on what I preach from this book. Amen? Amen? Amen. We've come to the place that we're so swayed by someone's personality and persuasiveness that many Christians haven't become discerning. You know what the Bible said about us? Strong meat belongs to those that are of full age, that by reason of the exercise of their senses are able to discern good and evil. And that's not an easy thing to do unless you're spiritually maturing. Because it's no marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light. And if some people see something, sense something, feel something, they usually swallow the doctrine. But if an angel bring another doctrine, or preach another gospel, Paul said, let him be anathema. It is the strongest word in the language for God's curse coming upon that life. So God says that can damn a soul. Anything that can damn a soul, amen, any doctrine that can damn a soul for eternity is a damnable heresy. Can you say, man, it is not just a mistake. It is a damnable heresy. Can you say, man? So God says, if an angel, Paul said, if an angel appears to you and doesn't speak according to what has been spoken, you reject him. Amen. And you say anathema. One of the erroneous religions of our day is Mormonism. It is not part of Christianity as we know it. Amen. There are teachings that go way out in left field because there's a book that's supposed to be a companion to interpret the New Testament called the Book of Mormon. John Smith received the revelation from a, quote, angel of light. But if an angel bring another gospel, the Bible says you don't listen to it. Amen? Are you attacking another religion? No, I'm standing up for truth, period. Let God be true, every man become the liar. I'm not here to propagate, amen, this idea that we can all live together in harmony like ebony and ivory. We can racially, but we can't spiritually. There are people I cannot fellowship with, and you shouldn't either. There are some walls that need to come down. There's other walls that need to be strengthened. Can you say, man, a world religion is coming according to the Word of God, and it's going to be anti-Christ. Amen. Not anti-God as a God concept, but anti-Christ as the full revelation of God and the only Savior. And it's coming and it's forming as we speak. Tonight, a world government's coming. A world money system is coming. Believe me, listen, right now what happens to the dollar affects the euro. What happens to the euro affects the dollar. What happens to the dollar and the euro affects the yen in China. You know how they're going to resolve this problem, amen, of all the monies affecting the money market globally? Did you know what happening to us in America is affecting the whole economic system around the world? And you know the solution, what it's going to be? You know what's coming, what's looming, what prophetically is going to happen? A world money system is coming. And the setting for it is already here. The world's ready to embrace it tonight. It could happen as soon as in the morning. You could read a headline that world leaders have come together and now there is no dollar, there's no yen, there's no Deutschmark, there is no euro. The European nations are already saw the value of conglomerating their monies into one, and it's called the euro. I don't know what they'll call it. It'll still be the euro, but since it's not Europe alone, it may be called something else. But a one world monetary system is coming. Something else is coming. A world government is coming. It's coming. A man, according to the Bible, is getting ready to step out on the scene of all the chaos. You know something else that would mark the last days? The Bible said the last days would be marked. Amen. Men's hearts would fail them for fear and looking at the things that are coming upon the earth. For there shall be distress of nations with perplexity. The word perplexity is a simple word in the Greek. It means puzzlement. It means the greatest educators, the greatest thinkers, the greatest professors, the greatest advisors, the greatest of the great, amen, in the think tanks of the world coming together won't be able to find viable solutions for the problems, the complex problems, global warming, the wars, all of the different things that is causing chaos in the world. But there is a man in the wings that I believe is alive today. I can't say that with a surety, but I personally believe he's alive today. And I believe he's waiting in the wings. And I believe he's getting ready to step out of those wings. I believe the world is being primed for a world leader that can bring a peace, amen, among nations because we're tired of war. I believe they're primed for a man that can step out on the scene, amen, and bring an end to world hunger and this, and stop the shaking economies of the world and give us a sense of security. And I believe they're ready to embrace this man globally. Can you say amen? And I believe the devil has a man in preparation. And he will be a diplomatic genius. He will be a military genius. He'll be a political genius. And he'll need endorsement to get, because religion brings great cohesiveness. If you can get a world religion and get that back in you, honey, there's a huge group of people involved in that. And he's going to need someone called the false prophet. There's someone coming that seems to be spiritual that's going to have, with deceiving wonders, is going to deceive people. And he's going to endorse this man that Satan is going to actually control completely. And the world is going to embrace this. Even Israel is going to embrace this. Because he's going to have a seeming solution for all the countries that want them annihilated. He's getting ready to step out on the scene. Someone said at the United Nations about 20 years ago, I remember what a shock it was. He said, we need a man who can bring an end to the conflicts in the world, can bring an end to all of the nuclear proliferation, all of the nations that are getting nuclear power. Sooner or later, somebody's going to use that power. No, a weapon has never been made by man that he has not used. Never. We've already used nuclear power. We did it against Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And there are others that would use it against us if they could this very night, even if it meant their annihilation. They hate us enough and they're crazy enough to want to use it. And if someone can step out on the scene, someone said, some high-ranking official at the UN said, if some man can step out on the scene and bring an end to this madness, then we need him desperately. Whether he be, listen to this, how prophetic this statement is, whether he be angel or devil, we care not. Just give us peace and prosperity. Just give us peace and prosperity. There is a man of peace coming that is going to bring peace to the world. But he's not the Antichrist, he's Jesus Christ. And when he comes, the Bible said everything's going to change in this world. Amen. The lion and the lamb are going to lay down together. Wow, it's going to be like it was in Eden before the fall. It seems to indicate to me that there was no bloodshed to feed another before the fall. That came after the curse. The lion's teeth was not sharp before the curse. I believe he grazed like a cow. Why do you believe that? Because when Jesus comes back and puts it right, the lion and the lamb, the lamb isn't going to look like a lamb chopped to the lion anymore. Isn't that incredible? You've all heard the story of the missionary that met a lion on his way to a village, and in the pathway stood this huge male lion with this huge mane, and he was snarling at him, and the missionary didn't know how to pray. He prayed very quickly. He said, Lord, make this lion a Christian lion in the name of Jesus. You probably heard it before, but it's still good. And immediately the lion bowed down, crossed his paws, and said, for these gifts we're about to receive, Lord, make us truly thankful. When Jesus comes back, the lion and the lamb are going to what? Lay down together. Oh, by the way, snakes are going to take on a different personality. The Bible said, and a child shall play at the hole of the asp, the poisonous snake that could bite you and put poison into you. A child is going to play with the snake, and the snake is going to play back with him. Peek-a-boo, I see you. It's going to be different. And the Bible said something else. God is not going to have to work supernatural miracles to end world hunger. The Bible said all of the military budgets of the world are going to be turned into agricultural development. Bible said when Christ comes and sets up his kingdom upon this earth, they're going to take their swords and beat them into plowshares. Can you say amen? And they're going to take their spears and beat them into pruning hooks. Plowshares is for planting. Pruning hooks is for harvesting. Can you imagine what would happen if the military budgets of the world were taken together to help those nations that have hungry people in it, including America? Can you imagine the billions of dollars that would suddenly become available and there wouldn't be anybody starving in Darfur tonight because man would use his money for good and not for war, and they will make more no more, and the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. During the reign of Jesus on this earth, everything is going to change. Praise God. But until Jesus comes, there's one who's going to come and try to do that without God and without the Lord. And he's going to be the most convincing man. And the world is so war-weary and so filled with complex problems that no one has the answer for. Whoever becomes president, pray for them. Say, Brother Bill, how am I to pray? Pray when they sit down in the Oval Office that the fear of the Lord will come upon them. That's exactly. I asked the Lord, well, how do we pray for him? Just pray God bless him and bless America. No, God can't bless America if America keeps sinning against him nationally. Yeah, that's right. That's not the appropriate prayer. Let's pray for leadership in that make the decisions that can cause the blessing to come or not to come. Let's pray that the fear of the Lord come on whoever sits in the Oval Office. That when they sit down in that chair, be they Republican or Democrat, that the fear of the Lord would come upon them. And they would realize they don't just answer to their party. And they don't just answer to their constituents. They answer to Almighty God for the decisions they make. Somebody give God praise in this place. God established this nation. God blessed this nation. God made this. Oh, my voice is coming. You might as well just strap in tonight. Can you say amen? God did that tonight. Amen? The answer for all the problems facing us right now is on this right here. It's what made us great, and it's what will make us great again. When the leaders of this nation said, it's in God we trust. And if we come in agreement about that, E, pluribus unum, is also on here. Of many, one. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're living in these times. We must have a spiritual awakening. There's never been a spiritual awakening without an emphasis on the soon coming of Jesus. Never. Why? Because unto they that look, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That means he's not coming to judge sin or deal with sin. He's coming to get us. Amen. Can you say amen? Our salvation, Paul said, which means our final deliverance. We're already saved. Amen. This is our final deliverance. This is that term for deliverance here. Not salvation is the born again experience, but now is our deliverance closer than the day that we believe. Every day that goes by brings us closer to our final deliverance and redemption. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, now I'm going to save time, not because of my voice, just because we all got to render to Caesar tomorrow. We're living in the last of the last days. We ought to be hearing it from the pulpits of America. There's never been a more prophetically significant time than the time that we're living in. And believe me, the world is interested in that. More interested than many churches, but most people are interested in how to serve God and get a, you know, get a house with five bathrooms and get a Mercedes or whatever they're after. This is no time. See, if we know the time, this is no time to go after gold and apparel. The Father knows what you have need of. And having food and raiment in Christ, what's our attitude supposed to be? Competitive? Comparing? No, contentment. I've conducted a lot of funerals in 35 years, not just for church people, but people who know people who know people who know people who don't have a preacher. And I've conducted a lot of funerals, literally hundreds in over 35 years of ministry. I have never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Never. Have you ever seen a church pulling a U-Haul with all the people's stuff? Their stereo equipment, their plasma television, their iPod. I've never seen a corpse with an iPod in the pocket. If there was, somebody ought to take it out and get some use of it. Because you sure can't take it with you. You seen the pyramids in Egypt? The great pyramids? They thought that I'd hate to be a slave in Egypt because they put some slaves in there to serve him in the afterlife. You die in there too. And they take some of his jewels and stuff. That's why so many tomb raiders, I'm not talking about Lara Croft either, can you say, man, but tomb raiders would raid those tombs. That's why all the gold and silver a lot of time is gone by the time the archaeologists get there to study, amen, ancient history. Because they thought they could take that with it. They also find a lot of food, a lot of wheat and other things in there because they thought they're going to need this in the afterlife. But guess what? When they get inside those tombs, it's still there. And nobody's used anything or eat anything. The Bible taught we brought nothing into this world. And we can't take nothing out of it. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Can you say, man? Everybody say great gain. Great gain. I'll lay my head down tonight. I know if I draw my last breath, my next breath will be in heaven. I feel so rich tonight. And yet we judge each other by our possessions. We've got a message out there that if your faith is working right, you should be lavished in riches. And the coming of the Lord is at the doors, and none of this will mean anything. If Jesus didn't come for 1,000 years and you drew your last breath tomorrow, you're going to stand before God. What is all this going to mean? Absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I know Jesus Christ tonight. Oh, by the way, when you put the kingdom first, Father knows what you have need of. Amen. Chances are you're not going to have to push my truck off tonight, mainly because I drove my wife's car. No, He's blessed my old truck. You ain't never had to push my truck off, have you? Amen. Hadn't God been good? I got a 93 pickup truck with God's blessing on it. It's never let me down except a dead battery. Dead battery happens in new cars. I bought one brand new car in my life. Got up the next morning after purchasing it, and it wouldn't turn over. Brand new car with brand new battery, but the battery was messed up. It just goes to show you. Amen. Remember when Ross Perot ran for president? He said, you know, and he's a cocky little guy, and he said, you know something, people think rich people got it made. And he had millions of dollars, he ought to know. He said, I'm telling you, they got troubles too. He said, you see this big yacht sitting in an arena? He said, why do you think it's not out there on the ocean somewhere? Hey, people swimming and fishing and going to ports. Why do you think it's parked in the arena? He said, because the air conditioning has went out. And people are sweltering, can't sleep at night down in that beautiful yacht because the air conditioning system has went out. And they're in some port of call that there's nobody with the technological or the parts nor the technology to fix that sucker. And he said, they're miserable. And I thought, well, I've never had a problem with my yacht. I really can't relate too much to that. I've had some automobiles that have given me a fit before with electronic problems that they couldn't fix. But he said even they have problems. And I thought, yeah, they're a little different from ours. Amen. Aren't they a little different from ours? The helicopter fly them off to a hotel while they're waiting on the part or whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. I feel rich tonight. I feel rich tonight. If Christ comes tonight, I am prepared for His coming because I'm looking for Him to come. Can you say amen? I'm not looking for this world to last as it is forever. Every time I pick up the paper, thing is, I go to work, I walk in and someone is reading something in the paper and they say, Rev, doesn't the Bible say something about these kind of things happening? And I begin to tell them what the prophecies say. To tell them about the soon coming of Jesus Christ. There's a large portion of the church world that is not focused on the soon coming of Jesus Christ or the prophecies. They're focused on houses, lands, and riches, period. If that is the message for the people in the last of the last day, then God Himself is putting us to sleep instead of waking us up. And the Bible said, be ye also ready. For in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. If the good man had known when the thief was coming, he would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Jesus said, beware lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, that day come upon you as a thief. For as a snare it shall come, or a trap, amen, upon all the inhabitants of the earth. One day, totally unexpected, the next day something is going to happen. An event is going to happen. It's going to shake the world. But it'll be too late. We need a wake-up call. That's why Paul said, knowing the time, that it is high time to wake out of our sleep. Why? Because our salvation is nearer than when we believe. We need to redeem the time, for the days are evil. I yearn to hear a preacher get stirred up that don't normally preach on the soon coming of Jesus and hear him begin to minister on that. I'm praying for ministry. That people with the platform to affect millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people, will use it to get people ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And to get souls into the harvest while there's yet a little time. How many believe we're living in the last days? How many believe we ought to hear about it from pulpits? It shouldn't be a message we hear when a prophecy teacher comes in for 3 days. It's something every pastor should preach and teach. The Amplified said, you know what a critical hour this is. We need secondarily to wake up. We need to wise up. We need to wake up. And knowing the time that it's high time to awake out of sleep. Literally in the Amplified it says to rouse to reality. Someone has said the devil is never too busy to rock the cradle of a sleeping saint. I can't help but tell this story that I've told before, but we're headed toward December. My dad's birthday is December 5th. My son's birthday, my youngest son, is December 12th. In between those two birthdays is an event that was related to the 9/11 thing that happened. But it happened December 7th of 1941, Pearl Harbor, surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. The man in charge of all the ships and the planes, who singly was the single most important person. The Emperor of Japan ordered the attack, but the one who was a part of the strategy and carried it out was Admiral Yamamoto. I saw them interview him a few years ago on television. And he said that after the attack, all of those young pilots came back. They had such a victory, this surprise attack, taking America totally by surprise. And so many ships sunk and lives lost. They felt so victorious. They were celebrating and drinking sake. But even they said of Admiral Yamamoto that he was somber, he was sober, and he wasn't celebrating and drinking sake with all of those people celebrating their great victory. And when they asked him, "Why aren't you entering in the celebration? Why are you sad and somber looking?" He said, "Because this is just the first battle. We've won a battle, but we have not yet won the war." And he said, "What I'm afraid of is that we have awakened a sleeping giant." In other words, America is a great military power. And if we get her involved in a war, she's going to rise up. And when she rises up, it's going to be hard to conquer her. When Admiral Yamamoto said those words, amen, this is what Paul is saying. The church, amen, in so many areas is a sleeping giant. We have spiritual authority and spiritual power. If we would rise up, if we would rise up, you may not have last week's disc that I gave you, but number one on there is what we need to close with tonight. Praise God. Listen, it's a time to wake up to righteousness and sin not. It's a time to rise up and wise up, O men and women of God. Napoleon Bonaparte had conquered so much of the known world, and nation after nation fell before him. And one of his strategists and captains said, "If we want world dominion, we need to go in and conquer China." And when they told him that, he said, "No, let China alone." See, China could put 1 million men on the battlefield, armed. And you know what he said? He said, "There lies a sleeping giant. And if we wake him up, he will shake the world." You know what Satan is afraid of? That we won't just become church members and churchgoers, that we would become followers of Jesus Christ. That we will live our life in light of the second coming. That we will raise our eyes and look upon the fields that are white unto harvest and become, amen, soul winners for Jesus Christ. That we will become people that are alert and aware and getting ready for His soon coming. Can you say amen? That's not the soul. Everybody say wake up. Ephesians 5, 14 through 18 says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly," that means watchful on all sides, not as fools, but as wise, "redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It's God's wake-up call. It's God's wake-up call. It's God's wake-up call. And every pulpit in America should be giving God's wake-up call to the church. Amen? Because if she wakes up, we can shake the world for Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. A little leaven can leaven the whole lump. I'm going to use it in the positive sense. We're the salt of the world, salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Can you say amen? But if we don't live out our life in an authentic Christian life, I live my life in light of the soon coming of Jesus. There's 5 pay ratings where I work. I've been there 12 years. I'm going on 62. I'm at pay rating 1. You know why I am? Because at that pay rating, someone can fill in for me so I can be here on Sunday and so I can sound the alarm, preach the gospel. Because I really believe He's coming soon. And I believe it's worth whatever sacrifices I may make. And I really don't feel like I'm sacrificing. I could use a little more room in my closet. So I'm going to tell Pamela to hold a yard sale and sell some shoes. Give them to poor, needy people somewhere. Get blessed with more shoes, and then I'll really be in trouble. People scratch their heads and wonder why I don't sign on this bid and that bid, because it's all about money to them. Well, I could do that. I wouldn't be your preacher tonight. I'd miss so many Sundays, we'd fold up and go under. I left a career with Tampa Electric. I would have had more time than Terry. Terry's got a lot of time with Tico. He's been around a long time. He used to live next to Fred and Wilma. He said, yabba dabba something. I do not believe that was tongues. Do not interpret that message. I don't feel deprived of anything. I don't feel like that I'm poor. Or that I, because of financial difficulty, how am I going to make it in the future? I have lived what I believed. I've always believed that it's worth it that people may come to know Christ. I have been in hospital rooms and led people to the Lord that I couldn't have been there if I was so committed here or so committed there, I couldn't be there. Amen. They're going to be in heaven. And he that winneth souls is what? I told you we need to wise up, O men of God. He that winneth souls is what? He that winneth souls is wise. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise, and he that turneth many to righteousness shall shine as the firmament forever and ever. That's called the crown of glory. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. I'm not complaining and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the kingdom is still first in my life, and I wouldn't trade. And if I had to go back, I'd do it all again, just like we've done it. People have come to the Lord under this ministry because I left the security of a career and retirement. I'm going to go eat with Terry. I'm going to tell you right now, when he retires, I don't have to retire. I'm just praying he can. Isn't God good tonight? Hebrews 9:28 says, and to them that look for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And the Amplified said, He will appear a second time not to carry any burden of sin nor to deal with sin, but to bring full salvation to those who are eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting for and expecting Him. Amen? We need to wise up. We need to look up. Don't just dwell on what's coming upon the earth, but rather who's coming to the earth for His bride. Luke 21:28 and said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I don't have time to preach the last and third point tonight, but we do need to clean up. He that hath this hope purifieth himself. Can you say amen? Everybody say, we need to clean up. Come out from among them and be ye what? Separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive thee. We need to clean up tonight. How many know there's room for all of us to do some house cleaning? Not just because, amen, of a season of spring cleaning, but a season of spiritual sanctification. God is getting His church ready, and you're clean through the word that Christ has spoken to you. That's why every preacher needs to preach the whole gospel in its entirety. Not just pleasing portions of it, but all of it. I want to be ready for the soon coming of Jesus. I don't want to be sleeping. I don't want that day to come up, the day of judgment to come upon me as a thief in the night. I want to be ready for the coming of Jesus. Amen? Will you stand your feet tonight? Our time is gone, but this is an important and vital message. I believe the time is coming when we're going to see more scoffing at the message of the soon coming of Jesus. It's already here. Bill Maher has a movie out coming to the theaters. It's kind of like the Borat movie, which I haven't seen, nor do I care to see. But he is a confirmed atheist, and he's interviewing people who believe in God from different religions, but his main point of attack is Christianity. And he wants to make everyone that believes in God, and particularly in Christ, appear as foolish people. That anyone with intelligence shouldn't believe there's a God who created heaven and earth. See, he wants you to believe that there was nothing, and out of nothing came a one-celled organism. Since science that doesn't embrace creation and a creator, they have to come up with a theory because they can't come up with a fact. So the whole evolution issue is called the theory. You ever looked up theory? It's what people surmise based on their best knowledge, but it is not a fact. Amen. Can you say amen? And even they say it is the theory of evolution, not the fact. They talk about it as if it's a fact, but it's not. It's a theory. Because they can't explain it and make it a fact. They just said, you know, there was this Big Bang in the universe. The Big Bang what? Theory. I have no doubt. I don't even believe it's a theory. I believe there was a Big Bang. I'm in full agreement with the guy that said, God said, let there be a firmament. And bang, there was a firmament. Amen? When God speaks, things happen in the universe. Amen. And I imagine it was big. And I imagine it was a bang. But to think that in the nothingness of this planet came a one-celled organism out of the nothing that evolved into two cells and then three cells. And then four, and then five. And then became something that wiggled around in the water. And then, after another 10 billion years, it came out on the bank and breathed there. And another, you know, it just goes on. And then you're saying, man, it takes a lot of faith to believe in that. But when you go to Genesis, it's so plain. There's a creator. David said, I'm not the result of evolution from a one-celled organism to what you see here. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm the result of God's creative power. And this whole universe operates on a precision that is unbelievable. And now it's not. The firmament declares his handiwork. The Bible said this universe as it is in its complexity and its perfection, everything in its orbit, amen, declares a creator has done this. But now they're not looking up anymore to declare it. Now microbiologists are beginning to come out and say a cell is run by a complex engine that is absolutely mind-boggling in its complexity. A single cell, a living cell, has within it a universe of its own that gives it life and animation. And they're looking through microscopes and seeing a creative force has done this. And many are coming out on the side of scientists coming out on the side of creationism. And one hotshot decides he's going to come out and say, how foolish are all of you people that believe in God. The Bible contradicts that by saying, the fool is the one who says in his heart, there is no God. Amen. And by the way, they've come and gone. Many times when I open the radio broadcast, I said, we're going to bring you a message from God's book, the Bible, the most attacked, criticized, scrutinized, dissected book, controversial book in all of the world. And yet it stands the test of time. You know why it stands? Because it's true. and God has preserved it. Can you say amen? Somebody give God glory in this room tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Him praise in here. How many want to be ready when Jesus comes? You want a spiritual awakening? Let's have one song.